Father, as we open up your word now, we pray that we would hear you speak directly to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do take a seat. I got my first Christmas card on Tuesday, the 1st of December. That's pretty impressive, I'd have said. Unfortunately, my generous and thoughtful friend didn't know about the World Vision alternative card scheme going on here, but I can't hold that against her. Do use that if you're able to. Someone, at least, is organised for Christmas. I'm sure you are also. Yes. Making the most of the pre-Christmas sales. Getting the online orders in before the postal deadline. Booking the bird. Do people do that anymore? Do you book the bird? Do you get to the butcher, don't you, and you make sure you get the best? I don't do anything, actually. I've never cooked a turkey. Anyway, booking the bird, choosing the tree supplier, and digging out last year's decorations. Arranging accommodation for visiting family. There's so much to do, isn't there? So much to get ready. We're starting here today, I think this afternoon, preparing the building, certainly in this week, for the events coming up from next week. But however organised or otherwise you are, I'm sure you won't be like me last year, heading off on Christmas Eve to a lunch with my grandmother and father down at the marina, and en route realising that I hadn't got a present for my grandmother, which seemed odd. And it was rather a tricky situation. I'd rather not repeat. I ended up going into the shop just next door to the restaurant where we were about to eat and popping in there and getting some flowers. Not great. And then just this September, locating the original present I had bought for her but had forgotten all about. Aha, I hear you cry. At least you are prepared now for this Christmas. It was a calendar. Not just any calendar, one of those designer ones where you put your own photos in and the dates of all your family's birthdays and all of that. So anyway, I started using it in October. Too late, though, unfortunately, to get all of my nephews and nieces' birthdays right. I had to resort more than once to e-greetings. Have you come across them? Do you use them at all? E-greetings. I got my first Christmas e-card as well this week. Not my first Christmas e-card, my first Christmas e-card. You know, these days people send them through the internet. A virtual card, if you like, with pictures and music and all kinds of things that you can customise. It's free, it's fast, and it's fun. And environmentally friendly, too. I didn't go on the march yesterday with Tear Fund and Archbishop Rowan and Gordon Brown and whoever else was there yesterday. But when it gets to the evening before an important must-not-miss birthday, I do my bit for the environment too. Digital greeting cards. Great for those nearly missed birthdays or for overseas Christmas cards after the postal deadline. So there you go, just in case you run out of time. So I got my first one this week and it's from Hungary. Nice to get greetings from there. There are so many ways these days, aren't there, of delivering a message, of communicating something important. Telegrams, text messages, Facebook updates. You can tweet or you can squawk or you can holler or throw a badger. I think I'm making things up now. But you can do all kinds of things through the internet to get messages out. There's photo messaging, there's video conferencing, Skyping, phoning. If you want to be novel these days and really make an impact, you can write a letter with your own hand. But be careful, because the recipient may not be able to read it. Because we've forgotten how to write these days, haven't we? Unfortunate when that happens. You can choose in so many different ways in which to get in touch with people these days, and to keep in touch with those people once a year, as we do round about this time of year. But don't leave it too late. When Mary needed to hear an important message, God sent an angelogram. An angelogram? I don't know. An angel. God sent an angel. And that had an impact on her. an announcement which surpasses all of our modern technology. But in the end, it was a personal message. Our most important messages are delivered in person, aren't they? When you've got something important to say to someone, you go round, you knock at the door, you talk to them face to face. You don't just ping off an email. God sent a person to come. He came, almost as it were, in person to Mary. "Greetings," he said. "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." At its heart, my message this morning is a very simple one. It's this question. It's, are you ready for God's purpose in your life this Christmas? Are you ready for Christmas? Mary was highly favoured. But I doubt she really felt it. Let's take a look again at the passage. Let's have that in front of us as we go through this. Luke chapter 1, verse 28 is the greeting. "Greetings, you who are highly favoured." But as I say, I doubt she really felt it. Not right then. It's not every day you get visited by an angel. In the Bible, you get a visit from an angel. It's not always good news. In 700 BC, God visited the nation of Assyria with an angel who wiped out their entire army of 190,000 men. But on the other hand, God just as frequently sends angels to protect and to shield his people or to bring a message. Which one is this? Highly favoured? More like greatly troubled. Mary, verse 29, was greatly troubled at his words. She wonders what kind of greeting this is from God. I'd be hysterical too if this happens to me. What might the Lord God want with me? Why would he go to all the trouble of laying on an angel? The angel tried to calm her down. "Fear not, Mary, you have found favour with God." There it is again. Second time, favour with God. What a strange thing to say. You have found favour. I know, I've been looking for it all week, Gabriel. Thank you for bringing it to me. Now, it's a strange thing, isn't it? You found favour. Mary was favoured by God. That's what that phrase means. She was on the receiving end of God's favour, of God's grace. Do you this morning know of God's grace to you? His generous favour, not just in your general direction, but specifically to you. An unmerited generosity, you could say, that technically you have no right or claim upon, that God should treat you in any particular nice way. That we deserve nothing from God, but he chooses to give you so much. Are you aware of God's love towards you? This is what God's grace is all about, bringing favour into our lives. That is what God does when he visits us. He brings good news. He brings mercy, kindness, security, love, hope. We receive his favour. He doesn't often use angels today. Or maybe he does. Perhaps we're not to know. But these incidents recorded at the opening of Luke's gospel are unique times. They're the beginning of God's special era of grace and of favour. Let's just consider who it is that the angel came and visited that day. Mary, a young woman, a Jew from a member of a nation previously led by God, plucked from international obscurity and called God's people. A nation that rose to a level of significance, but who were then wiped out to almost nothing. They looked forward, on the basis of a few promises, to the day when God would again save them. They longed for his coming. They longed for his favour again. And God sends his message to Mary. Here in Nazareth, a small corner of this small land called Israel, overrun and ruled by foreign Roman occupation. Mary, I've come to save my people now and show favour to them all. And I'm going to start right here with you. You will bring my king into the world. He will be called Jesus, for I will save my people. Well, when she gets over the shock of this declaration, she will show that she recognizes this in verse 47, when she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Mary was highly favoured. But I wonder if at times she would come to doubt this. She would, of course, be having a child out of wedlock, which was pure scandal. Joseph did what he could to cover it up. There was a long journey and a difficult setting for the birth, followed by a hasty flight and months of fear. Then raising a rather confusing son, eventually seeing that son executed as a criminal. There would be no wealth, there would be no recognition, no title, no glory. That doesn't sound like being highly favoured, does it? Perhaps this Christmas, like Mary, you also find it impossible, or at least very difficult, to believe and to feel that you are favoured by God. Perhaps you've endured some tremendous losses this year. You've had a rough year. Perhaps you think, how can God understand my life, my world? Perhaps you feel disappointed or let down and doubt God's favour. Where has he been when I've been in need? Perhaps Mary faced all of that and more. Her life would have been full of questions and doubts. And our lives are as well, aren't they? What did Mary have to cling on to? Maybe she would have gone back to those words of the angel Gabriel. "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." For the central figure in this story, of course, is the Lord God, isn't it? The gracious and loving God who comes to ordinary people to save them and to use them in his purposes. Is there anything special in Mary that God should save her and use her? Well, we're not told. All we know is that she found favour with God. What about others through history? Think of Noah. Was there anything special in Noah that God chose to rescue him and his family from the flood and use him in his purposes? This is what was said at the time. "The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, 'I will wipe mankind, whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, and birds of the air. I am grieved I have made them.' But Noah found favour in the eyes of the Lord." Was he any better? This seems to be the way that God works, though. Was Abraham without fault? Was David really the best man there was? Did Peter really deserve to be a disciple? No, not by our reckoning. None of these. But God doesn't choose us on our merits, does he? But through his favour. He's favourable towards us. He invites ordinary people to play their part in fulfilling his plans in the world. I was on my computer last night and I received a tweet from a Christian in America. And this is what it said. "If you experience God's love at your lowest, you'll know it has nothing to do with your condition and everything to do with God's amazing grace. If you experience God's love at your lowest, you'll know it has nothing to do with your condition and everything to do with God's amazing grace. It's a quote from Max Lusardi. God wants ordinary people like Mary and like you and me to receive his favour and to be used in his purposes. But how do we know this? It sounds like a wonderful thing, but how do we know it's true? Because God sends his Son. Look with me at verse 34. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be to be born, will be called the Son of God. She concedes, okay, Lord, you say I'm going to be pregnant, but look, don't you think I might be one of the first people to know this? How can this be? There was a time when Britney Spears used to be able to sing this line, I'm not a child, not yet a woman. I'm sure you all know that wonderful song. Bit of irony in that, but hope you picked that up. There was a period in her life when she could say that. There's a period in every girl's life, isn't there? Somewhere between the age of 12 and, well, I'll be plucking numbers out of the air. I'm not going to say where it ends, really. Mary is a teenager. She's still a child. She's not yet married. She's not yet a woman. How could she bear a son? Nothing is impossible with God. It's the identity of this son that is all important. The child is God's. I suppose we could say, if Mary is highly favoured, that this child is heavenly fathered. It's a bit, doesn't quite go smoothly, but but you could say that. There's little doubt that this is true, though, is it? This is not Joseph's son. Verse 32. Look back there with me. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. You see, Jesus was not a human who became like God, but he was from God, 100%. This is why Mary remained a virgin, so that this child would be recognized as the Son of the Heavenly Father. When Jesus was found in a temple as a boy, he said to his mother, do you not know I had to be in my father's house? This child will be God's king, verse 33. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And the king comes to his people in this rather peculiar way. He is their hope of salvation. The Lord comes to save, to rescue people, to bring them under the favour of his perfect rule. And so Mary receives these words. Even Elizabeth will bear a child in her old age, verse 37. For nothing is impossible with God. As we approach Christmas, we're faced afresh with these claims about Jesus, aren't we? So often the Christian story, the Christmas story, is treated as a children's story. But this was to Mary truly shocking news, which demands an adult response. Her son was fathered by the heavenly God. He would be God's unique king. He would be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And this will happen, for nothing is impossible with God. And though there's a similarity between what God is doing for old Elizabeth and young Mary, there's a similarity, but it's the difference that is significant. Elizabeth has the joy of childbirth in her old age. Mary is the bearer of God's king, being born as a human to live on this earth. In response to us, in our messed up, desperate, broken world, God sends his son. To a nation under occupational rule, waiting for a conqueror, God sends his son. To people in stress and darkness, needing a guide, God sends his son. To perishing people who need a saviour, God sends his son. To Brighton, God sends his Son, who is the King and the Saviour. God's amazing grace and favour to a fallen world. And we close with Mary's response. It is in many ways a model response. I don't think we can really imagine ourselves in her place to feel the gravity of God's bombshell to her, that she would feature so centrally in God's plan. And what of her own plans and how she expected her life to go? Well, look at the many people that God has given significant roles to throughout history. What marks them out is not how special they were when they started, but that they were willing to be involved in God's plans. So when Mary visits her cousin, Elizabeth identifies in Mary this same quality. Verse 45. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. What can we say? Mary humbly followed. Verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Mary believed God's word. She trusted God's words to her and that it was a good word for her life. And Mary submits to the Lord's will. I am the Lord's servant. Humble, obedient, faithful. God spoke his word and Mary trusted it, whatever it might hold for her future. And this is the model response to God. Instead of running scared, she praised God in this wonderful song which follows, which we didn't get a chance to read. But in that song, Mary's song, she sings of God's mercy, verse 50, extending to many. She recognizes God's acts in the present, verse 51. He's performed many things in the past. She recognizes his great provision, verse 53. And she recognizes his faithfulness to his promises in verse 54 and 55. He's remembered what he's promised. She ties God's work in the past to what God is doing in the present in Jesus. And she counted herself blessed to be part of God's plan. She believes God's word and puts it into action in her life. Hence, this is a model response. Leaving us with a question for ourselves. How are we responding to the coming of Jesus, who is Saviour and King? How are we reflecting on God's word as Mary did? How are we committing ourselves to trust in God as Mary did? So I ask again, are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready for God's purpose in your life this Christmas? The secret of contentment, as Mary would discover, is doing God's will. Mary was highly favoured, the recipient of God's grace, which he longs to pour out on all his children. Mary's child was heavenly fathered. The key to receiving God's grace is to recognize God's Son. And Mary displayed humble faith. She humbly followed. Are you willing for God's purpose in your life this Christmas? Are you willing for God to come to you and to use your one life? Let's pray. Lord, what an incredible mystery that you would choose to come to your earth and display your favour through this child being born. What an amazing truth that you would package your greatness into such a small and humble package. That you would choose Mary as the one to deliver your Son. That you would come into our lives and show us favour. And that you might even involve us in your plans and purposes too. Lord, I pray for us over this Christmas period. Please help us to be reflective. Help us to reflect on the story of your purposes and plans throughout history. And where we fit into those today. Lord, maybe be open to inviting you in a new and a fresh way into our lives this Christmas period. And Lord, we pray that maybe, even through us, that you might bring about your plans and purposes in the lives of others as we offer ourselves to you. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.